The hymn presents anointing of political leaders as part and parcel of standard biblical ritual. And yet, the truth is that when we study the Bible, very few kings are anointed. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 89, The Crown of Anointing. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. So reads the rightfully famous concluding words of the Gettysburg Address. Perhaps most interesting among them is the phrase, under God. For we have, by Lincoln's own hand, several copies of the Gettysburg Address. Those written before it was delivered do not contain that phrase. Those handwritten after do include under God. Meanwhile, as I heard from my friend, the Lincoln historian Harold Holzer, the newspaper transcripts of the speech contain the phrase as well. This would seem to indicate, and so I believe, Harold Holzer suggested to me as well, that Lincoln had not originally planned to mention the Almighty in his address, for so it would seem from his pre-prepared handwritten remarks. But in the moment, as he was about to describe government of the people, for the people, by the people, he chose to emphasize that this government and this people are under God. A nation, in order to truly succeed, must see itself as being under God. And this is the heart of our mitzvah for the day, the chatat offering of the anointed high priest. As we have seen this week, the laws of chatat can apply uniquely to several situations. The sin of an individual Israelite, for example, the sin of a political leader, a king, and the sin stemming from an erroneous ruling of a Sanhedrin. Another chatat is that brought by the most sacred Kohen to minister within the holy. This is Leviticus chapter 4. If it is the anointed priest who sins, thus bringing guilt on the people, then let him offer for the sin which he has committed a young bull without blemish to the Lord. So Scripture says. Several fascinating elements are to be discerned in this small series of phrases. First, the sin of the high priest impacts not only himself, but the people. As we have seen, at the heart of Judaism is the notion that the people are linked to the Temple Mount, linked to the temple, linked to the site where God's dwelling rests among the people. And therefore, the one who has been sanctified to serve at the epicenter of the site of God's dwelling impacts in his every action not only the spiritual state of himself and his house, but of the people that he was designated to represent. Especially interesting for us is the way in which the high priest is called. Not by the standard phrase utilized in discussions about the temple, Kohen Gadol, but rather the Kohen HaMashiach, the anointed priest. From the beginning and throughout the first temple period, the way in which a high priest was designated was through the application of the sacred oil of anointing, in Hebrew, Shemen HaMishcha. This, in fact, set the high priest apart from an Israelite king, a fact that is often missed. In the anointing ceremony of a British monarch, the Archbishop of Canterbury always makes reference to the anointing of Solomon when he was proclaimed king over Israel. The traditional coronation hymn sung in Westminster Abbey is Handel, taken from the Book of Kings. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anointed Solomon king, and all the people rejoiced and said, God save the king, long live the king. The hymn presents anointing of political leaders as part and parcel of standard biblical ritual, and yet the truth is that when we study the Bible, very few kings are anointed, at least explicitly in the text. And according to the Talmud, the only reason for an anointment ceremony is to dispel any questions concerning the rightful monarch. Then and only then is anointing applied. Kings are anointed when a new dynasty comes into being, for example, David after Saul, or when a conflict exists as to the rightful heir. Thus, Solomon, chosen by David over Solomon's brother Adoniah, who aspired to rule. Kings, in other words, do not usually need to be anointed. And yet, not only is anointing central to the identity of the high priest, it is the appellation applied to him in order to highlight his holiness and his spiritual connection to the people. Why must a high priest be anointed, and a political leader rarely so? The answer lies in understanding what an anointing actually is. The Bible describes it as a sacred crown, or as we are told elsewhere, Ki nezer shemen mishchat elokav alav, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. The high priest is crowned first and foremost with the anointing oil of the Almighty, and as a reflection of this sanctity, he wears upon his head, as one of his sacred garments, a crown-like adornment bearing the name of God upon it. If the high priest in the temple is always anointed with a crown, and the political ruler much less often, then this should signify to us something central to the Jewish political worldview, that as important as politics is, and it is profoundly important, a polity can only be truly successful if it recognizes that there is something greater, someone higher than the state. This indeed was embodied above all by David's dream of building a temple that would tower over Jerusalem, highlighting that for all his own political and military successes, all that he had and Israel had was ultimately by the grace of God, and only in recognition of the fact that it was a nation under God could it truly succeed. In an episode of Bible 365, I noted that it is significant that in the description of the Kohanic clothing, and especially the sartorial splendor of the high priest, detailed in the Torah reading for this week, the crown bearing the name of God is always above the sacred stones bearing the names of Israel. The latter are worn on the high priest's shoulders and chest. The name of God rests on, well, his crown, reflecting the way in which he was crowned by the anointing oil of God. How the different chatat offerings are enumerated in the counting of the mitzvot is a controversial question. Some sages, such as Nachmanides, argue that actually all of these korbanot are included in one commandment, that of offering the korban. Whatever approach one takes, it is still necessary, I believe, to examine in detail every one of these offerings. For in the specifics of a ritual, such as the korban of the anointed Kohen, we discover not only an offering that is obligatory, but also a window into the wider worldview of Judaism throughout the ages. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together next week, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, signing off.